Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Alongside Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham from the Little Woodrows in Katy, John McClain will be joining us at the top of the hour. Texans off this week. They have their bye week. Comes really in the middle part of the season. Couldn't be any better. Second year in a row that they've had the bye in week 10. I wanted to give some midseason awards for the Houston Texans as they are right now. MVP, look, we talked earlier about Deshaun Watson being in the conversation for the NFL MVP, and the only guy that might have a better resume is Russell Wilson. So I think we're all probably on the same page that Deshaun Watson is the Texans MVP at this point of the year.
There ain't no doubt about it. I mean, it's not even – Is it worth even discussing? Is there somebody even in the conversation, right? I mean, obviously Deshaun Watson's the guy right now.
We can go around the table right now. Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, it's Deshaun Watson.
Smitty?
Yeah, DW4.
I thought you were going to say like Nick Martin or somebody.
No, bro. No. My picks will be legitimate picks. I have room for the trenchman down the road, but the MVP, no question, is Deshaun Watson. What he's done on the field, what he's done off the field, he's just ridiculous. He's a magician, and so – how he goes determines the fate of how the Texans go, and so he's definitely the MVP of the Houston Texans.
Look, I mean, he's the MVP any way you slice it. I mean, if he's on the field for the Texans, he's going to be the MVP regardless of the record, regardless of the performance. But when you add in the fact that we've watched him develop this season along with Bill O'Brien, I mean, you've watched a guy develop at a rapid pace in a nine-game span that's been awfully impressive. So, there's no doubt about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not even a competition. Deshaun Watson is the MVP of the Houston Texans in 2019.
Okay, how about Defensive Player of the Year?
Wow. You got one?
I'm going
with Justin Reed, man. I think Justin Reed's been a guy that won you the Jacksonville game. I think he's a guy that's, because of all the injuries in the secondary, he slipped down and played some nickel corner last week in a big, big win. You know, he's just been a mainstay in the secondary that's been banged up. And when you lose Jonathan Joseph and you lose Tayshawn Gibson and you're dealing with a bunch of rookies essentially or some guys that have been on the team for one training camp and 6 to 8 weeks into the season, then you need that stable force. And for me, on the defensive side of the football, when you talk about a guy that's been present every game and impacted every single game – in a big way during adverse times, it's Justin Reed.
I tell you what, the defensive player of the year, I think, is DJ Reader.
I knew where you was going.
Tough because I wanted to give him Trenchman of the Year, but when you look at the defense for the Houston Texans and the fact that there's no such thing as a running back that lines up or running game that lines up against the Houston Texans and has a successful day at the office.
Yeah.
They all struggle. It doesn't matter if you're Leonard Fournette. It doesn't matter whoever that running back is. The Texans are going to shut them down. And you know who the guy shutting them down is? It's DJ Reader. He's making plays on screens. He's getting sacks. He's forcing, you know, half of the sacks that Whitney Mercilus has was because of DJ Reader. So I just think that he is the one that makes everybody else go. The reason that that Romeo Crennel can play the defense that he plays, that bimba don't break, we're going to stop the run, is because of DJ Reader. If you take him out of the equation, the defense is nowhere near as good as it has been. And so, to me, he's the defensive player.
Wade, you can't – look, I mean, I can't debate that. I mean, DJ Reader is – I mean, it goes unsaid way too often. I mean, he is the key cog to this wheel, so to speak. I mean, he's the guy that allows J.J. Watt to speed rush and have – you got a late start, but he ended up with four sacks. He talked about Whitney Mercilus' sack numbers. And if there's a soft middle of the defensive line and that quarterback has the ability to push up in the pocket, then those guys, those sack numbers aren't what they are. They're not unbelievable. They're not off the charts right now, but they've been turnovers, sacks and turnovers that have won football games, that have changed games. And so I can't debate DJ Reader at all either. I can co-sign that one as well.
Here's one that I had, Bernard Jennings. For a lot of the same reasons you said, Smitty, because the Texans are so good at stopping the run game. To be a championship defense, you have to stop the run game. And the Texans have some problems. Their defense isn't complete. The loss of J.J. Watt, it's going to hurt them a lot going down to the final half of their season. But Bernard McKinney's the guy that wears the green dot on the back of the helmet. He sends in the play. He's a big reason for the stops against the running attack of the opposing offenses. So I'm going Bernard McKinney.
Fair enough. I'm not co-signing it, but fair enough.
Offensive player of the year. A little different than the MVP.
Yeah, it's easy for me. I mean, it's DeAndre Hopkins, and not for the reasons that people think that he's the number one receiver in the league, and he's proven that over time, obviously. But the ability to hang your ego at the door and adjust your style of football and completely, like a complete 180. He was a stationary boundary receiver that liked to go deep and wasn't a great route runner and really didn't use separation. In fact, he was more comfortable when he was hip-to-hip with guys. And now you see him completely do a 180 and sacrifice yards for catches and third down conversions and things like that. And along this 4 or 5 game stretch where you've seen Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien mature and develop and gel, I think a big part of that, I don't think, I know a big part of that has been DeAndre Hopkins' willingness to change and do things a different way.
Yeah, when you look at DeAndre Hopkins, and I agree with you, I think he's the offensive player of the year. Can't give it to Deshaun because he's the MVP. DeAndre Hopkins, he's the one that defenses are going to dictate their coverage. He's going to dictate coverage and make them set what they're going to do defensively based off of where he aligns. He has a lot of guys around him that are talented players that I think benefit because of him. Duke Johnson has the year he has because of DeAndre Hopkins. I think that Carlos Hyde and Darren Fells and Kenny Stills and all these different skill players that are around him, they all benefit because of DeAndre Hopkins, Will Fuller, all of these guys, because everybody knows that you're going to have a one-on-one matchup. In the NFL, if you play in the NFL, you can't win a one-on-one matchup, you're not going to be there very long. And so DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that creates those matchups. The amount of times that he's converted third and twos, fourth and twos, critical plays, clutch situations, he's constantly the guy that DW4 counts on to make those plays, and you know what he comes through and makes them. And he actually started slow. Think about the way D-Hop started this season. He had a few drops earlier in the year, but he's continued to progress. He's on the pace for 120 catches. Hey, man, hell of a job by D-Hop.
I'll add to that. I think, you know, we talk about the Texans' offense being one of the top run offenses in the game right now. That ain't possible unless you got a coverage dictator that forces defenses to keep a safety deep. And it forces defensive coordinators to absolutely shake in their boots when they do have to bring the safety off the hash, the same side of the field that Hopkins is on. So not only are other receivers and Deshaun Watson in the pass game more successful because he's there, but the run game benefits as much, if not more, because adding that extra defender to stop the run is dangerous. It's a huge risk when you got Hopkins out there. There ain't many corners in this league that want to be left on an island with that guy.
I remember being in the Texans locker room earlier this year when Kenny Stills, like a week or two after he got traded, and they asked him about the impact that DeAndre Hopkins has on the offense. He said it makes all of our jobs easier. That's what you guys are talking about. Clint Sterner, Wade Smith, Jeremy Branham handing out midseason awards for the Houston Texans. Newcomer of the year.
Newcomer of the year. Did we class that? Can't be a rookie, right?
Can't be a rookie. It can, but I'd prefer if you took it some other way.
I'm gonna go. I think I know where Wade's going. In fact, Wade, you go first, because if you don't go with one guy, I am.
I'm gonna go with Darren Fells. I think that Darren Fells is the newcomer of the year. He is the guy on the Texans offense that does it all. He's the guy that when they run the RPOs, he's going to come across the line of scrimmage and he's going to hit the defensive end in the mouth one play. The next play, he's going to cut him. The next play, he's going to slip him, catch the pass out of the backfield, and get you 8 to 20 yards. He's a guy that has 6 touchdowns already this year. Nobody thought that you were going to get that out of Darren Fells when he was brought into here. All you thought you were going to get out of him is a guy that's going to be an inline blocker and be a veteran presence in the locker room. He's giving you that and then that much more. And so, to me, he's the Texas newcomer of the year.
Laremy Tunsil. And obviously, he's a great player, and the biggest void on this football team was left tackle. I mean, that really handcuffed this football team from taking the next step. Simply one guy, right? You go out, you get that guy. He's 25 years old. He's one of, if not the best left tackle in the game. But the trickle-down effect is why he's my newcomer of the year. I mean, at that point, you can take your draft pick in Titus Howard, your number one draft pick, you can move him to right tackle. That's proven to be a great move. He had his best game last week in London, coming off of an injury with all kinds of adversity versus a great defensive front. So clearly, him being able to move to right tackle and playing well really allows the Texans to essentially be set for the future at the two bookend tackle positions. And then that also allows, and I don't know how much it was the case, more than just an experiment with Max Sharping bouncing around and maybe being a tackle and a guard backup and doing it, really allowed him to slide down into that right guard position and really focus on right guard. And he is an absolute road grader in the run game, and he's going to consistently get better. And so just the trickle-down effect, not even the fact that they're protecting the quarterback better and they're running the football better, but the trickle-down effect of just they've got better personnel in place that fits their skill set to where you can see they're good now and they're going to continue to get better and as a group be really good down the road in the future. So mine's Laremy Tunsil.
I'll throw Carlos Hyde in as an honorable mention. Rookie of the year.
Rookie of the year for me? Kahale Waring.
Kahale Waring?
I got to hear this.
Check this out.
Kahale Waring.
Kahale Waring is rookie of the year. If Kahale Waring doesn't get drafted, where was he, third round draft pick?
Third round, yep.
So if he doesn't get drafted in the third round and come in with high expectations, right, and end up getting injured, there's a chance that Darren Fells would not have panned out to be the Darren Fells that he is right now. Wade, you know it as well as I do. When a guy comes in and he's a third-round draft pick, damn it, they are hell-bent on getting that sucker on the field. You know that guy gets a ton of opportunities. And at the beginning of the year, Jordan Thomas was going to be your in-line, hand-in-the-dirt, move tight end at a true wide position. And so with all those things said, Darren Fells was going to get limited opportunity. Now, he still may have capitalized, but he was going to get limited opportunities. So the fact that Kahale Waring was that third-round draft pick, he came in here, he got injured, got in Bill O'Brien's doghouse, and they sent him off the field, that allowed Darren Fells to settle in there and become the Darren Fells that we see today, a critical piece of this RPO pie and this development pie that we see moving forward for the Texans, baby.
Clint, I promise you, I thought you were going to take that a whole nother way.
Where'd you think I was going to take it?
I thought you were going to say Kahale Waring, him coming here was the catalyst for Brian Gain being out of here, which was the catalyst for Bill
too.
O'Brien making all those moves to make the team what it is today. I thought you were going to go there with him. You were a little bit nicer to me. But when I saw Kahale Waring, I was like, because I think that was the straw that broke the camel's back. Because when he came in here and he was like, this kid is not ready to play. Why do we draft him in the third round? But the fact that Darren Fells is in the position he is, I completely agree that it would have probably changed if he would have came in and did not get injured or did not have the issues with being behind.
Well, Wade, you've been on teams, and I've been on teams and watched guys that got drafted earlier than they should or be third or fourth round draft picks and just get chance after chance after, and everybody's sitting around going, man, dude can't play. Like, you made him just bite the bullet. You made the mistake of drafting him, and you just hope that he can develop into something down the road.
Right.
My point is, and I don't know that Bill O'Brien and him would or wouldn't do that, but the fact that he got injured and he was such an early draft pick, he allowed Darren Fells to blossom in this offense.
I tell you
what. Good little spin. What the hell?
I feel you. My rookie of the year, you actually made a great case for him when you were talking about Laremy Tunsil, but my rookie of the year is Titus Howard. I think Titus Howard, the fact of the matter is he started off the season, he came here, they played him at left tackle, they played him at right tackle, they played him at left guard, they played him at right guard. He started the first game, he was a left guard, played well. They put him at right tackle. He's playing well. I think to me he's the best rookie on the team, and he's going to be here, a bookend tackle for 10 years, 12 years to come. And so the performance that he did last week against the Jacksonville Jaguars in London was so important to me because he was coming off of an injury and he played his best game. You could see that he wasn't moving quite the same way that he normally moves. But he figured out a way to play through that injury against a legitimate opponent. He was playing against the Jacksonville Jaguars and Josh Allen and Doc Way, against Calais Campbell. These guys are legitimate Pro Bowl, all pro players, and Titus Howard had his best game. So for me, he's definitely the rookie of the year.
Kahale Waring. Although there was a roster crunch at tight end. I mean, you had Jarrell Adams. They were trying to figure out a way to keep him. Jordan Thomas, remember, he's been on IR the whole year.
If Kahale Waring stays healthy, if Jordan Thomas stays healthy, and Jordan Akins all stay healthy, and you limit Fells' reps, man, he could have been inactive. He could have been traded, could have been released. Kahali going down, man. You're rookie of the year, baby.
Trenchman, offense and defense. I'm not sure Wade has any Trenchman left, though.
No, I do.
He's already went Reader for defensive player of the year, Howard for rookie. Who you got?
The Trenchman of the year on offense is Clint already said it was Laramie Tunsil, for sure. Yeah. Once he's come into the building, it changed everything. And people might complain about the fact that, you know what, he gets a bunch of pre-snap penalties. Half of those weren't on him. I'm not going to get into why, because right now we're giving out awards. But half of those aren't on him. But his ability to lock down whoever you put on the other side of the ball, I don't care who the pass rusher is, his ability to physically one-on-one lock that guy down is, you don't understand how valuable that is to a guy like Deshaun Watson. And so he's definitely the Trenchman of the Year on offense. On defense, I can't pick DJ Reader because, of course, DJ Reader has held it down, and he's the defensive MVP. But I got to give it to J.J. Watt, man. Don't forget about it seemed like every other play that J.J. Watt, when he was in there playing, he was beating his guy. Now, he wasn't getting sacks, and he wasn't getting batted balls, but he was beating his guys. He was drawing holding penalties. J.J. Watt was the J.J. Watt that we remember from 3-4 years ago, and so that was great to see, and it's unfortunate to see now that he's out for the season. But to me, he was the Trenchman of the Year on defense.
A lot of holes to fill, too, with Watt, because he had like 20 hurries at the start of the year. Once he got hurt, he had the 20 hurries, and they played pretty well against Jacksonville, but we'll see that against a good quarterback. You've been talking about that all week. Play of the year. Play of the year so far through 9 games with a 6-3 record.
My play of the year was Justin Reed. The tackle that he made on the 1-inch yard line
against
Leonard Fournette. Just imagine what it would have been like around Houston, Texas, if they would have lost that game to the Jacksonville Jaguars. To me, that's the difference between the fact that the Texans now are 6-3, and we're talking about them potentially having a bye in the playoffs, or us complaining about Bill O'Brien and wanting him out of here. So I think that play is the play of the year.
It's hard to one-up that one, but I'll go with the Atlanta play that I'm always talking about when Deshaun Watson, he did not throw the go route, the low percentage go route to Hopkins when the coverage dictated that he could. He instead flips it out the front door to Akins, and Akins goes 19. To me, and obviously we had the event with Deshaun Watson where I got a chance to cut up film with him, and I specifically asked him, I said, 3 weeks ago, you'd have thrown this go route. And he said, absolutely. And so that told me that that play was extremely valuable, and his ability to turn the corner and understand how valuable just taking what the defense gives you really can be.
I'll throw the Watson getting kicked in the face and throwing a touchdown into the mix as well.
Nice.
I think that one's up there for Deshaun Watson.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.